Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
1, 2, 3. It's a Hard Knicks Live. It is a Hard Knicks Live. A Hard Knicks Live. Oh, it's a Hard Knicks Live. It's a Hard Knicks Live.
What up, Knicks fans? What is up, Barry motherfucking B?
What is up, Craig?
Craig's
good
not
day,
up, Jay. I'll tell you that.
Good day, Jay. Gabe Landerson Hooper.
Good day to
What's
you as
going
well, Craig?
On, motherfucker?
Are you wearing all black for this occasion?
Pretty much I always wear all black.
No, but you even got the hood.
Yeah. It's going to be a terrible, terribly depressing show. We have to relive just the worst... I think the worst finish to a Knicks game I've ever seen in my entire life.
Worse than the choke game?
Well, if you take stakes out of it.
I'm taking stakes out of it. Just okay. The worst individual game. Absolutely. We're going to get to it all.
Okay.
All right. We'll talk about it. You guys can say whether it's true for you or not. We're going to get to all of it. If you ever want to call us, cheer us up. We could use it. Just like you
That's
could use
right.
it. Barry.
And that phone number is 516-33-MESH-1. That's 516-336-3741.
And you're sure about that?
Yeah. You know, Blanderson, right. I caught you last show. Blanderson was staring at me so hard when I was reading off the digits last show, just waiting for me to screw up a number.
Ready to pounce.
Yeah. Yep.
Well...
So you do the
he
same thing to me.
When other people fail.
Yeah. Randy. Ha!
And please subscribe to the one podcast that once a year has the pleasure, and you have the pleasure, of getting to talk to Barry. We get to talk to Barry while he's in Delray Beach at his parents' old age home.
It's not an old age home.
Old age community.
Right. Yeah, that's fair.
Have you done shuffleboard yet?
No, they don't do shuffleboard anymore.
They don't do that.
You know
really?
What's
pickleball.
You know what's sweeping the state of Florida is pickleball.
It's
yeah,
pickleball.
That's
yeah.
the big
everything.
Thing.
That makes sense.
Here. Yeah.
Has that?
I totally get that.
Has Mrs. Delray Beach stopped by yet?
Mrs. Delray Beach. Oh, yeah. the drunk slob from a couple of years
drunk
ago.
Drunk slob. Oh my God! I'm trying to be nice here, Barry.
I will be in downtown Delray tomorrow night. So you never know. Keep my eyes open.
I hope alone or with anybody.
Yeah, with the fam.
That's dangerous. My goodness, what a night that was, Barry.
And I don't.
I reevaluated
forget.
My whole life that night, and I did nothing about it after.
Well, it's not too late, Craig.
Is it? It's not too late.
No. Still time.
Your parents into the pickleball, Barry?
Oh, yeah. My dad is.
I can see
My
that.
Dad's into the pickleball.
So have you played them yet?
My dad had a huge meeting last night with like
pickleball meeting.
The pickleball director, because the pickleball director is going to be away for like 7 days, so he has to take on the responsibilities.
Your dad does?
Yes, that's right. So what that entails, I couldn't tell you.
Have you played a round yet? Is it a round?
I've played before. I haven't played this trip. I will. I'll play.
Okay.
It's fun.
We just got my son pickleball stuff for Christmas. I've never played.
Really?
Never played. Yeah. He's all about pickleball.
I've played.
Yeah, it's fun.
My parents have a pickleball court in their old age home.
Okay.
Or you just go easy on your dad. Are you going to go easy on him or?
Yeah, we played golf today and I almost beat him. Which is good. I had almost the best round of golf I've ever played today. Right out of the gate, par, birdie, par. And I ended up with a score of like 93, which for me is very good. Like, I'm always happy if I break 100.
This is full golf. Full golf, not mini golf, right? Full
size. No, there was a theme, right? Like a windmill.
Like a is that what you're
going to get over on the same place? No.
No,
it was a full, like, not a par three course.
No, I don't play par three courses.
Full course. Golf.
Yeah, get the fuck out of here.
Excuse us.
Speaking of golf, basketball is back. And BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. You'll get the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline.
Basketball's been back for, what, a week or two now?
A couple weeks. Yeah. If I'm coughing, it's because I'm coughing tonight. All right, guys?
Okay.
Okay. If I'm coughing, it's because I'm coughing.
Exactly. I feel like I'm going to be coughing. Stop fucking rolling your eyes at me, Barry. Barry's in his Florida outfit right now.
You dick.
On the patio. Is that outside or inside?
This is a screened-in patio out back, you know. Yeah, got a lot of that going on around me right now.
Is there a pool back there? You got a pool?
No. It's a community, man. This is like a community pool. You got to walk. There are some places that do have small pools in their yards here, but my parents don't know.
BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and giveaways all season long. The fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports, whether that's the NFL, NBA, NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, or even pickleball. Head on to betonline.com. You see how I did that?
There is pickleball on TV. It's crazy.
There's two pro leagues.
Yeah.
There's two competing pro leagues. LeBron, I think, has invested in one of them.
Get the fuck out of here.
Quite a bit of money. Yeah.
Is he joking?
I'm not kidding.
Quite a bit of money?
Yes.
In a pickleball league? What is that? How much money?
I'll look it up right now.
I could play pickleball professionally.
LeBron, Draymond Green, and five-time All-Star Kevin Love are investing in Major League Pickleball, the league announced. It's expanding from 12 to 16 teams next year. Yeah. I'm trying to look for money. I don't see an amount. But yeah, he invested. Mm-hmm.
Is there any pickleball podcast? Maybe we stop this and we just do a pickleball podcast.
That would be, imagine, but there's got to be people that have already gotten in on the
ground floor. And we take it like really seriously.
Oh, but people do. People do take it seriously.
There's a pickleball podcast out there?
Oh, you know that there is. There's got to be.
Let's see.
Oh, my God. Our poor listeners.
All right. Well, Blandy, let's bore the fuck.
They didn't come here to listen to us talk about pickleball. They came here to fucking commiserate and share our misery.
They came to forget about what we're about to talk about.
No, they're sick and twisted. They want to relive the misery. Right. That's why the Knicks fans are used to it. Yes, they do.
They
want to bash it in over their head.
Let's just finish this ad. Head on over to BetOnline and get your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Use promo code BLEAV to get your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts. Blandy, start us off with the Ralph montage. He does not do the Mavs game, but we've got a special guest that is now a part of the Ralph montage to fill in the gaps.
Oh, okay.
Knicks versus Bulls, part three.
It's a dog fight. Ruff, ruff.
Well, the Knicks lost. Those damn free throws got us in the end. Good night. Knicks versus 76ers. I'm not going to have much enthusiasm today. We've been kind of under the weather. Anyway, Merry Knickmas. It's a dog fight. Ruff, ruff. Well, we lost again. Dang three-pointers got us this time. It's always something.
Good morning, guys. DJ here, 6 in the morning after the Mavs' brutal overtime loss. Like last week against the Bulls, free throws. Yes, I'm running out of words.
I think Ralph was, said he was they were under the weather, so maybe he's just not feeling well. Ralph, I hope you get better.
Yep.
Obviously you're not if you didn't call during that Mavs game. We are now on a 4-game losing streak, Barry. That's a streak. Is that a fucking streak?
That's definitely a streak. If there was any question about 2 games, 4 games is most certainly a streak.
Luka fucking Doncic with the first ever 60-point, 20-rebound, 10-assist, 60-20-10 game in the in NBA history against our team. All right? We played a great 47 minutes and 30 seconds. But those final 30 seconds and what followed in overtime, in my opinion, the worst experience I've ever had as a Knicks fan. Those were my least favorite 30 seconds. I was at the Reggie Miller game at MSG. I was at that game. This doesn't have the stakes of a... I'm sure if you think back to playoff games from the 90s, there were more devastating losses. Charles Smith... 18 shots under the rim, Reggie Miller choke game, whatever. But there was a stat that came out after this game that NBA teams, did you see this?
No.
Were 0-13,884 in the last 20 seasons when trailing by at least 9 points with fewer than 35 seconds remaining. Wow. 0-13,884. That's the record.
You got a better chance of being struck by lightning.
That's the fucking record. And that is what we witnessed in like 26 seconds the other night. Up by 9 after Deuce McBride, thankfully, the fucking Deuce McBride, second year player who gets like some night 6 minutes a game, could actually hit his free throws. He hit them. And he came up clutch with those. 2 key free throws, go up 9, and you're like, this is done, right? This is done. Barry. I know that IQ had a good game. Grimes had a career night. Randall continues to play great basketball. We just came off of an 8-game winning streak. And after the Bulls loss, I heard people saying this was the worst loss they've ever seen. Or one of the worst losses. And then we followed up with this, I mean, nightmarish against a team that we don't like. No Knicks fans like the Mavs. And Luka and the Mavs did that to us. Stole a win. Stole a win right before our eyes. Barry, I don't even want to do this show tonight. I mean, I don't want to relive this, but we're fucking here.
Yeah, I mean, that's the oh shit. That's the title of the fucking podcast, isn't it? It's a Hard Knicks Life. And I literally said the words during the game last night when we hit like that 32 second mark or so and we were up 9. I literally said to my son, my father, we were all watching the game, all right, I could rest now. You know, because even when there's 2 minutes left, and you're up, you know, it's the Knicks. You can't relax. But when there was 30 seconds, I said, okay, yeah. I could relax now. I sat back in the couch. And then, slowly and painfully, we had to watch the Mavs chip away, knock down a 3, hit their free throws, and then watch Luka go to the line. Still an improbable thing to happen, and yet we watch it fucking happen. I mean, how many times you watch a guy try to miss a free throw and, you know, it never works out. And here, bounces off a couple of Knicks. He fucking gets the ball, puts it up super quick, and it goes in. And he was like a happy little schoolgirl jumping up and down.
Dancing.
Yeah. He couldn't believe it.
Shit out of him.
He couldn't believe it. Yeah. So obviously we couldn't believe it, watching what we just witnessed. And that's even knowing that we're watching the Knicks. And against that Bulls game, it took me a while to get to the word, but I mentioned execution, right? And how I felt like the Knicks executed fine. It was just a bad break. Brunson missed his two free throws, and Grimes missed his two free throws. But I thought they executed fairly well down the stretch. This game, though, you can't say that. You can't. No. And Thibodeau's got to take a huge brunt of this, in my opinion. And I'm a Tib guy. I'm one of the rare Thibodeau guys.
Oh, you are. I can't tell.
I know, because I don't like to say it out loud all the time. It's one of those things.
Guy.
But I've been in. I accept the fact that he's stubborn and this and that, but for the most part, you know, I'm a Tibbs guy. However, even before they got into overtime, Quickly already had over 45 minutes. Grimes already had 43 minutes. And RJ came out with a minute and a half into the game, and you're telling me Thibodeau is so stubborn that he can't change it up this game now? You're a minute into the game. Yeah. You got 47 minutes to go. What are you thinking is going to happen? Even if it doesn't go to overtime, you're going to play McBride and Grimes fucking 50 minutes a game? It's ridiculous. You got it. You got to adapt. And, I mean, does he forget that he's allowed to play Cam Reddish? That just because he hasn't played in a game in a month means that you can't play him? The guy's sitting right there. I mean, that's one thing. And again, the Knicks played very well up into the end. But again, at some point, these guys are going to hit a wall. And I don't care how young they are and how fresh their legs are. It's too much. And to me, Thibodeau has got to take the responsibility of this loss, I mean, more than anybody else.
I mean, I hear what you're saying, and I've heard everyone say stuff like that, and yeah, it is crazy that suddenly guys like McBride and Quickly are Quickly got 50 plus minutes, right? 50?
Almost 51.
It's crazy.
But that's not why they lost the game. I do agree they'll get burnt out, and maybe they were burnt out in overtime.
Why did they lose the game?
They lost in the final 30 seconds. Come on. I mean, yeah, they didn't execute down the stretch, but they were still up 9 with 26 seconds to go.
Craig, what did you say that stat was?
I mean,
before?
They couldn't get. 0-13,884.
When the score was what?
When they were
down
by 9.
In the last 20 seasons, when a team is trailing by 9 with 35 or fewer seconds remaining.
Oh, okay.
Via ESPN stats info.
Blanderson fact-checking you already.
No, I'm only checking because the Bucks had an 8-point lead with 1:30 to go on the Bulls tonight and lost in overtime.
Yeah.
So something very similar happened tonight.
That doesn't come close to the debacle.
Well, no, of course not. But still, talking about an 8-point, you know, they ended up losing. So just checking to see what you said.
But yeah, I mean, Cam Reddish gets time in that game, Barry, and they don't lose the 9-point lead in the final 26 seconds.
I think guys might have had a little bit of their legs under them.
Look,
all they need to do is grab a fucking rebound in the final seconds, which they didn't do against the Bulls, which led to that Bulls loss. They didn't do it here. I don't like. It's just like, I don't know, a lack of focus towards the end of these games or something. And they fouled Luka on the 3-point play on the end one. Dinwiddie hit that three. There's not much you can do about that.
Yeah.
But then to not get that rebound, and obviously missed free throws. Like watching Mitch shoot free throws. Like I don't.
Yeah, I think you compared it to him throwing darts, which was a great fucking comparison.
I don't understand what's going on there.
And as a team,
were
they 15 for 24
down the stretch?
And 15 of 24 for the game. Again, it's miserable. It's atrocious.
Who did Randall miss two?
Lock them in a fucking gym.
Randall,
I mean, these guys are NBA players.
Randall missed two in overtime. Randall missed.
Who missed?
Yeah, he has not been good. Randall has not been good down the stretch with his free throw shooting. No.
No, and those are the games. When Brunson's not playing, obviously they miss him desperately in the end of games for late game execution like you've talked
about.
And
it would have been great to see Brunson back in Dallas on this homecoming. He would have fucking loved to have torched the Mavs.
So, like, I know once it was close, you're not shocked because it's basically Julius Randle out there who can't close games
no.
and can't execute down the stretch and a bunch of fucking young guys. like Deuce McBride, mm-hmm. Grimes, IQ, Mitch, and Randall. Like, you're not going to win the end of the game like that.
Yeah.
First of all, like, most of those guys can't even hit free throws if they go to the line. And then Julius can't do anything with the ball at the end of the games. It's he's terrible. So I don't think any of us are shocked by what's going on here. I mean, when I was shocked, actually, when Thibodeau started McBride, Grimes, and Quickly for the second half. Like, I mean, you're right. How do you not at least consider, like, he puts Rose in because Brunson's out. How do you not consider putting Reddish in at all?
Yep.
I don't think it lost in the game, but I don't.
I know teams don't do this, and maybe somebody's got to explain to me why they don't do this. You see this all the time, right? It's a close game, and this game wasn't, you know, tremendously close through the fourth quarter. But you see in close games, a coach will go to his main guys, and they'll play practically the entire fourth quarter, playing their ass off. They're gassed, and he trots the same guys out in the overtime, right? Why don't they go to guys with fresh legs in the overtime as a scheme? And I know Tibbs isn't the only one that does it.
Because you only got 5 minutes, Barry. What are you going to do? It's 5 minutes.
And I guess what? They're not warm, this or that. But, I mean, you'd imagine that they're going to have a lot of energy. I know they're cold. They've been sitting on the, you know, on the bench for 2 hours or what have you. But that shit kind of goes through my head.
I think it is like they're not warm. And overtime, like Blandy said, though, overtime, it's only 5 minutes. So you don't know like when a dead ball is going to happen, when you're going to be able to put guys back in. And before you know it, I mean, if you go down by a few points in overtime in the first few minutes, it could be the end of the game right there. So it's just not worth a couple minutes of being a little behind, probably. But
yeah, it's like a heavyweight match. You know, you trot these guys out and, you know, round 12 and, you know, they're just, you know, kind of. But that's what it is. Both these teams were playing. We're playing like that. One of the crazy stats is, you know, Luka Doncic, 60 points, only a +7 in this game. Right. You know, it's unfathomable that they lost this fucking game.
Well, plus, you know, and you know what? Like I said, the Knicks played a great 47 minutes, 30 seconds. And they did it without Jalen Brunson. They did it without RJ Barrett for almost all those minutes. So they had the Mavs, like, on the ropes at the end of the game, up 9. With the like the best or the second best player in the NBA having an amazing game, even up to that point. And the Knicks were winning easily.
Yeah, I mean, that's
so
all
the undermanned Knicks lost that fucking game. I mean, there is something to, like, they did play great. It was a terribly devastating loss.
We all know if the game was closed the whole game and they lost the game, like, whatever. It's another loss. It sucks. It's 4 in a row. But again, there's no Brunson. There's no RJ. It just comes down to the way that you lost this game. No team should lose this game. I don't care who's on the floor for you. You can't let that happen. It's too many breaks to happen in a 25, 30-second span. You know, it's too much.
Of course it happens to us. You know, I mean, it's just like, so who isn't sick of this? I mean, if that's going to happen to any team, it's us. It's us.
And now our 8-game winning streak is a 4-game losing streak. So
yep, that's the thing. And we're so excited about the 8-game
winning streak.
This could easily become an 8. This might become an 8-game losing streak. And then it's just like, all right, we're 500 team. You know, it's just what we do.
Yeah, it's the roller coaster of the Knicks in 2022.
Someone, a reporter asked Thibodeau after the game about, like, the, you know, any concern about the minutes and guys being tired in overtime. And he had players with 50 plus minutes in that game. And he was like, he like he always does, he just gave some bullshit excuse about, well, you know, it's a close game, overtime. Both teams, the minutes are going to be up whenever you go into overtime. But come on.
But again, as we just pointed out, McBride, forget it. Before overtime, McBride was already at 41 minutes. Quickly was at 45 minutes. Grimes is at 43 minutes. What are we doing here?
In a game the other day, McBride played.
You have capable players on your bench.
McBride played 6 minutes the other day in some game.
Yeah.
And then he had 40 plus in this game? The most minutes he's ever played in his career.
That he deserved all of those minutes?
No, but he's in the 9-man rotation, so he gets the minutes. And the guys that aren't, don't.
You got to bend. When you made this 9-man rotation, RJ Barrett didn't have a lacerated index finger. Jalen Brunson didn't have a bruised hip sitting out. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, he's got to fucking bend.
and our nine and four of the guy, like a few of the guys off the bench, like, I mean, one of them is Sims and one of them is McBride, who literally provides zero offense.
So
without Brunson, without Barrett, like, you do need some scoring somewhere.
Think about what that looked like with Robinson, McBride, Quickly, Randall, and Grimes at the end of, you know, in that overtime period. Like, that does not...
No, where's your scoring coming from? And Quickly, as great of a night he did with playmaking and, you know, and his defensive intensity and all the assists that he was fucking drilling out. I mean, the guy only shot 5 for 21, 1 for 10 from 3. I mean, he had a brutal night offensively from a scoring standpoint.
Yeah.
And then to have... You know, to have Sims, Rose, and Hartenstein, who are, you know, essentially after RJ went out, are your three reserves off the bench, to have them only getting 13 minutes, 12 minutes, and 11 minutes from your bench in such a small rotation, that's not how it's supposed to work. If you've got a tight rotation, you got to spread the minutes out a little bit more.
No, because they're not good. I mean, the bench, but now we've got a really short bench that is not very good.
No, so
Thibodeau.
No, Hart's
barely
struggling.
Plays them. Yeah,
you know what you're going to get from Sims, right? And it's not a lot of production. You know, he's a body in there, and he's going to do what he needs to do. But it's not production.
There's one guy off the bench that's good, and it's Quickly. You know.
Rose has had his chances. Granted, he hasn't had time, and he's out of the rotation. And then, you know, he's kind of the guy that they go to when they need somebody in there when somebody's sitting out, but it's not really fair. He hasn't gotten a lot of time to get back in the groove, but he's not the same Rose as he was the last 2 years for them.
No, I mean, if they want to stick with a nine-man rotation, I mean, it's clear that, like, if we are trying to, obviously we're not tanking, we're going to try to win as many games as possible. If they want to stick with a nine-man unit and four off the bench, they do need to try to trade like Reddish, Fournier, a couple picks. They do need to, like, beef up somewhere on the bench or take someone out of the starting lineup and add someone to the starting lineup. They are just lacking anything off the bench. It's crazy because people before the season said we were so fucking deep, but I guess that's what happens when you take Fournier, Reddish, and Rose out of the rotation.
And we're also missing Obi.
You're left with a very thin... Well, they could trade him for some help.
Yeah, because how deep are you if they're not going to play? Yeah, if they're not going to play him, how deep are you then in reality?
But we're so bad. The bench is terrible. I know it's this tight rotation, but we suck. I mean, we don't suck, but three of the bench guys are not very good.
The Knicks sucks.
We've got two more games in Texas, the Spurs and the Rockets. Now, what do you think is going to happen these next few games? I'm not asking you to predict what the rotation's going to be. I'm not asking you to predict what the starting lineup's going to be. I want you to tell me how you think the Knicks are going to perform. How do you think they're going to come out as a team and play? Are they going to be able to bounce back from such a defeating loss? Or is it going to carry over into the Spurs game?
Well, are RJ or Jalen playing or no?
Forget about it. Don't worry if they're playing.
Well,
RJ is
supposed to be
playing. You're
playing
the San Antonio Spurs. You should need them to play.
RJ
you were
is
in
supposed
this
to be
game
out
without
week,
the two of them.
By the way, for whatever
the
hell happened.
By the way, how do you cut your finger playing basketball?
Doncic probably fucking claws. Yeah, his fucking nails must have
That's
sliced
how it
into
happened?
His finger. How else would
Europeans,
it happen?
Europeans don't cut their fingernails. That's what it is. Luka is a dirty fucking player, dude. He
Well, I don't think he intentionally meant to slice his finger open.
He ripped RJ's finger open. He can't play for a fucking week because of a fingernail cut?
I don't know. I don't get that at all. He's not even... It's on his right hand, right?
I don't know,
It's not even his shooting hand.
Yeah. But seriously, how do you think they're going to come? Because forget that Brunson and RJ are out. They were out for this Mavs game and the Knicks were in it. So how do you think they're going to come out? Are they going to be able to
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to come out fucking angry against San Antonio and probably blow them out. But I would not be shocked if we
I hope so,
lose.
Because I mean, it's a start to get the stink off,
the
your, off you.
I mean, we're undermanned, so I feel like no matter how bad the Rockets are, we struggle there. So I would say 1-1, but I would think against San Antonio, like, Randall himself will probably take that game over.
Okay, so that's question one. Question two is, what does Thibodeau do? Does he insert a Fournier or a Reddish to take some of the minutes off these other guys. He has to, right?
If RJ's not playing, he has to.
He has to. I think he can argue that he didn't that game because RJ started and then he was into it. He probably didn't have time to really think about it. He wasn't expecting to need to do it, but he's had a few days. I think that's what he's
a fucking coach.
And it's only a minute in. Well, it wasn't even like they were a quarter in.
I'm not excusing it. I'm just saying
right.
why
you're trying
I think,
to get into a madman's head is what you're trying to do.
I'm just saying why I think he might play. He'll have time to think about it over the next couple of days. Why he will have to play Reddish or Fournier, or one of them at least.
Wait, how long is Brunson out for?
I don't think they have a timeline. I don't think they have a timeline.
So do you think he plays?
I think he's listed as doubtful currently.
I think he's questionable.
Or maybe questionable.
So no RJ and no Brunson and no Obi.
Are you trying to figure something out right now or what's going on?
I'm just trying to think like where he's going.
He's not going to play an 8-man rotation on this road trip or 7-man or whatever.
Are you so sure? You're so sure about that?
Yes. Come on.
I think the most likely person to get more minutes is Derrick Rose.
I don't think he's going to be starting Grimes quickly in McBride.
Oh, God.
I would think Reddish is going to start. That's just
yeah. It'll be interesting
smart.
To see, and yeah, I hope he does.
Well, we'll see. Blandy, let's mm-hmm. play some of the voicemails.
Okay.
From the Hard Knicks Life fan base.
Okay.
Give me Reddish for 20 plus points against San Antonio if he's in the starting lineup. Because you know that's the type of shit that's just gonna happen. It's like typical shit that's gonna happen because then everybody's gonna be like, see that he hasn't been fucking playing. No, he's a 20 point scorer. If you give him a fucking chance, that's what's gonna happen.
That's why Thibodeau doesn't want to play. That's why Thibodeau doesn't want to play these guys for a game.
He doesn't want to be proved wrong.
Not proved wrong. He doesn't want it to become a thing. You know, I honestly think that's why he doesn't. There was a quote that came out from Reddish today, I think, where he said that he's heard nothing. And I'm not blaming anyone. I'm just saying the quote. Nobody's reached out to like nobody from the coaching staff has talked to him about what it would take to get back in the rotation. Just radio silence. He says that the media probably knows more than him. You're like Thibodeau has said, once you, if you're like, you just, there's not much to talk about. If you're not in the rotation, you're not in the rotation. Can he get back in? Does he want to know how he can get back in? Maybe Thibodeau's like, you can't get back in. I don't really care. You're not in the fucking rotation. There's nothing you can do. So like, yeah, all of a sudden when these guys start playing and they put up 20 points, but Thibodeau doesn't want to play him because of, for whatever, because he makes 8 boneheaded plays every game he's in. I mean, that's probably why he's out of the rotation, right, Barry? He's shown flashes defensively, but his IQ is not there. His decision-making sucks.
Right, and these other guys, to be fair, these other guys have given you 48 minutes of effort where, you know, let's be honest, Cam doesn't always give you 48 minutes of effort.
No.
Blandy.
Hit it, Blandy. Play the voicemail sound. How's your thing of water doing, by the way?
Good.
Need
good.
A refill? Right.
Do we have a call from Hotepe and his blue balls?
No. No Hotepe.
He's blue angry. Balls on Hotepe because this hasn't been a win in a while.
Rumor has it that he was halfway in.
20s. The night of the Mavs game?
Then had to pull out.
That's right. Mavs game. He got the rubber on.
He was
all with 30 ready. Seconds
oh,
to go.
He was so excited. Yeah. He was like, come on, let's just get started early. They're win. I mean, they're up 9. 26 seconds left. His wife was like, oh, yeah, you're right. There's no way they lose this game. And she got the hell out of there as fast as she could once Luka started coming through. What was that little dance? And what are those
this
circle
one?
Things?
Cupping.
But that's from the cupping like that?
Yeah. A lot of cupping. Athletes do that, yeah.
They do, but you don't see it on everyone.
Like yeah, that. That's it's like the swimmers do that. All right, here we go.
Jesus Christ. It's almost weird when you see the young lineup out there. It's almost like you see this coming. And fouling at the end there, I just had a bad feeling. Just I knew we weren't making them, and I knew we were not stopping Luka. Even coming down with a rebound, like, dude, it went through Grimes' hands, and McBride poked it out himself. That's like the most painful part of the play, and it's also not the fact that I, you know, parlayed the money line and the over, which would have won $600 tonight. Mm-hmm. 600. I was looking 10 minutes, like 10 points up, rather. I thought I was good. I was golden.
Yeah, that hurts.
Jesus Christ, what a night.
Yeah, you secure that rebound, and it's like, wow, we dodged a bullet. They came so close to coming back. Can you imagine if we would have lost this game? That's what you hoped would have happened by securing that rebound. And again, two guys that are in there for their defense. And again, I know they're not rebounders, but they're
nobody
in there for their defense, and they can't secure it.
No, nobody boxed him out.
On two of the last three games, two of the last three losses were like that. Ball literally in our hands.
All right, next one here.
Hey guys, I've been a long time listener, and I gotta say, I'm just completely frustrated with how this team has been playing. After our great win streak that we went on, things were looking up. They looked like they were turning around, and all of a sudden, it seems like every single game we play entire three quarters fantastic. Sometimes even three and a half quarters amazing, like we could beat any team in the league. And then, you know, that last 6 minutes of the fourth quarter comes around with this Mavericks game. It happened to be the last minute. And we turn into a varsity basketball team that can't hit their free throws when there's people waving their hands behind the backboard. Now I see Tom Thibodeau and press conferences talking about, you know, all this different stuff about our defense, getting offensive rebounds, stopping our fouling. You know, and I agree with all that. That's all pieces to the puzzle. But, you know, the main thing that I see as a fan watching all these games and these games we've been losing recently are the free throws. What the hell do we do about it? Thanks, guys.
He didn't say his name, right?
Yeah, no, I don't know his name.
Well, thanks for the call.
Yeah, call again.
Back to where we were last year with the free throws.
I had to literally call in Blandy's little folder I gave him with the voicemails. What I call that one, Blandy?
You called
I name everyone.
Long time, first time after Mavs.
Oh, I originally had him to call Jesus Christ.
No, that was the original one. The first one I played was Jesus Christ.
Oh, that's right.
After Mavs.
Who is that, though?
Jesus Christ. It's almost weird when you see...
Nobody's leaving.
I don't know.
Isn't that JP?
That
wasn't
Hall
to pay?
It sounded like him to me.
It sounded like him to me too, but he didn't talk. He didn't... He always
says
Hall to
pay. Maybe he's just so crazed with what happened.
Well, he shouldn't have to say who he is. It's Hall to pay. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you do about the free throw shooting. I mean, you really... we joke about locking him in a gym, putting up free throws. Is that really going to help at this point?
No.
No.
15 for 24 that game against
you know Clyde house. Says it all the time. It's confidence more than anything else, except for maybe Mitch, obviously him. I don't know why they don't get their hands on him and do something, you know, getting more arc on his shot. But everybody else, yeah, it's a confidence thing. And
I don't what is the deal with honestly, he's not shooting that terribly free throws, surprisingly, when I just looked up his numbers.
What do you mean?
This month.
Who?
Mitch.
Isn't he at like 50%?
I don't know what he's on the season, but in the month of December, he was like
65%. He's not. Oh, no. On the season, the last, dude.
That's
you got to pull up the season numbers. He's about 50%.
No, he's been terrible on the season.
Yeah.
But the last month, he hasn't been as bad. But his, like, yeah, there's zero arc. He's just shooting it right at the rim. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen from him, from a guy who for years has claimed that he could shoot from the outside. That the
right,
Knicks
we've seen
him
do it in high
him.
School. We've seen the
Can
clips.
Can you imagine what a three-point shot would look like?
Is anyone working on this shit with
and
them?
And he's an athletic
I don't
guy.
Understand.
He's not like one of these lumbering, centers. He's got athleticism to him.
But like, why all of a sudden can no one hit free throws? Whether it's Jalen Brunson, Quentin Grimes, you expect that from
Julius
Mitch.
Randall.
Julius.
Come on, he used to always be clutch with the free throws. Even you know, he hasn't been doing it the past couple of months.
Yeah, Mitch, yeah, he's 64% this month. But yeah, the other 2 months he was like 46, 42.
Yeah.
You know, but the last game he was 4 for 8, one before that 2 for 2, 2 for 2 before that 3 for 4. He hasn't 2 for 2 before that, 2 before. He hasn't been that terrible this month. But he looks terrible, and the team as a whole is terrible. I don't know what you do. There's missing him. Can you practice free throws, Blandy?
I mean, you can.
Work for NBA players?
I don't. I mean, Mitch looks like. I think Mitch needs more than just practice.
The other thing is, like, they're playing a lot of young guys who are not. It is. I mean, hitting those free throws at the end of games in those clutch situations is not easy. So when Grimes, Deuce.
Yeah, Deuce didn't do
even so well. Mitch, like, these are not. These are young. Either young. They're either young, or they're not confident with it, like Mitch. But we're not trotting out like veterans who are used to this kind of pressure at the end of games of constantly blowing games. It's getting, I think it's getting in their head a little bit. Blandy, who else? What do you, I think this is the rest of DJ.
Yeah.
The big question is now when Brunson and RJ are out, is it still the best option to run a 9 or 8 man rotation like tonight? I mean, quickly, a bit, 50 minutes. 50 minutes tonight. Randall, Grimes, and Deuce also 45 minutes. You cannot do that, do this all the time. I mean, that's not necessary in the middle of the regular season. Tips needs to find ways for even Fournier or Cam Reddish if they have not found a trade partner right now. I mean, it's not necessary right now. Damn. Okay, guys. See you next time. Peace out, DJ.
Yeah, DJ. Yeah, he's totally right. If you're going to have an 8-man or a 9-man rotation, it only works if your key guys are in that rotation. Once you lose one or two of those key guys, you got to throw that out the window and wait till you get them back, then you go back to it. You gotta change it up.
Those sucking fuckers.
Yeah, those sucking fuckers. What is it? Fucking suckers?
Sucking fuckers.
One more time. Give it to me one more time.
A sucking fuckers.
Sucking fuckers.
The sucking fuckers.
What you gonna do, Thibodeau? Well,
I don't know, but
that's a bad situation for us.
Yeah, it is.
How about Wally trying to be Clyde against the Mavs? Did you pick up on any of that?
What? Not Wally. Wally didn't call the game. Alan Hahn?
Alan Hahn.
What do you mean trying to be Clyde? I like Alan Hahn. It was nice to hear him on the broadcast,
he was rhyming,
actually.
Like dishing and swishing.
You know,
you pick up on any of those moments?
It's bad enough we got to deal with Clyde doing that. It's like I tolerate it at this point. I don't want to hear from Alan
Hahn. I don't like it when Alan Hahn does it. I don't like it.
Oh, but I liked him on the broadcast.
I don't like to pay attention to what they're saying. All right, Blandy. You hear that? It's your time. Your time to shine.
Okay.
Don't do what the Knicks did. It's the Mavs.
Got a lot of stuff here for you tonight. We start off with Devin Booker. Missed a couple of games with the Suns because of a groin injury. Came back, played about 5 minutes the other night, and then was out again. And he will now be out for the next 4 weeks, at which point he will be reevaluated. So it's going to be tough haul for the Suns over the next month. And then the only other thing I have here is that Damian Lillard recently surpassed Clyde Drexler, becoming the leading scorer in Portland Trailblazers history. They had a celebration for him the other night. So he has topped Clyde in 137 fewer games, which obviously is, you know, that's a big deal. The only thing else really is actually tonight in the there was a big scuffle in the Magic Pistons game between Franz Wagner and Killian Hayes. Three people got ejected. I'm sure there'll be some suspensions coming this way. Is, you know, like you said to us before, when we were talking before the show, a whole bunch of the Magic left the bench because it literally occurred at the Pistons bench. Wagner kind of like shoved Hayes out of bounds. Then Killian Hayes came up and like he punched Franz Wagner in the back of the head, it looked like. And he kind of like keeled over. It looked like he kind of lost consciousness for a minute or two there. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens there. And I think that game, was it in Detroit?
Yeah.
So Shades of the Malice in the Palace there.
Yeah, the PA, I don't know if you saw the clip, but the PA announcer for Detroit was very forward in telling people to stay in their seats.
Interesting.
During the whole fight, he was like, do not leave your seats, fans. Stay in your seats. Just like over and over again. There's a tweet about it where they call that out. And they say, listen to the PA announcer during the fight. He wouldn't shut up. But that was good direction. So maybe he held it all together in Detroit.
Well, that's the way.
That's the fucking way the best.
That's the way the best.
I did it for you. Just trying to get this out. Just trying to get done. Yeah, I wonder what would happen if the Knicks had a brawl like that and half the team was suspended. Thibodeau just trots four guys out there.
What's the fewest amount of guys you could have to go for a game? Isn't it like six, seven?
Who else is at the end of our bench? I don't even know anymore.
Well, you got Ryan Arcidiacono. You got
so he's still out,
Svi.
Right? Isn't he out?
He's back.
No, he's back. Back.
He's back.
Yeah, he's available. You got Svi. Who fucking knocks down the 3-point shot whenever he
comes. So that's another question, by the way, is does Thibodeau trot some of those guys out there before Reddish and Fournier?
Oh, gosh, can you imagine?
That's is that possible fucked up. To fill that out would be fucked up. It's not, I would say it's not out of the question with Thibodeau.
No, it's not.
No,
sometimes
he just goes cold
on you and you got on his naughty list and you're just not getting any time.
Even though Fournier, I'm surprised they let Fournier and Reddish sit anywhere close to the front of the bench. Why aren't they shoved all the way at the end where nobody can see them?
Yeah.
You know, they're like right next to the coaches as if that makes a fucking difference. Especially Fournier.
Yeah, this isn't where Fournier thought he would be.
No.
You know?
Not a season after setting the 3-point record for the team.
Yeah, it's wild.
It's also not where you guys thought Fournier would be.
No.
Well, it'll be interesting. I mean, look, again, not too flashy, exciting games on the Knicks' schedule with San Antonio and Houston, but coming after this loss, you know, it's still kind of must-see TV,
the
Knicks...
need to win the fucking game.
They need to win. You're right. They need to grab this
I don't care
win.
How they win, they must just need
win.
To win.
Statement win. We gotta win.
Yeah. All of a sudden, the San Antonio Spurs has become a statement win on
that'll
their schedule.
Be a statement
like
win
that.
For Barry. Was that a statement loss? I think so.
Oh, it said something. It definitely said something.
All mm-hmm. right. You can all call us. Barry, give the numbers.
Sure.
516. I know we're doing this all out of order right now. Yeah.
That's all right. Give us a call anytime. You know, you want to get in some last-minute takes on that Mavs game or during or after the Spurs game. 516-336-3741. 516-33-MESH-1.
And let us know who you are when you call. You know, even if you're Hotepe. You know, honestly, all the miserable voices that call in, everyone just starts sounding the same. So don't take offense to it. But if that was you, Hotepe, we want to know what was going on in those final 30 seconds. Right?
Yep.
Barry, don't you want to know?
Yeah. How many times?
One of the details. Like, did you pop your Viagra pill at that point, or were you holding out?
Right. Maybe that's how it worked. He's like, all right, game's over. Let me pop the Viagra. Then he's sitting there, you know.
20 minutes later, yeah. He's got an erection that's like, you know.
He's going to have one until after the Spurs game, so he's counting on it. That's why it's a must win.
Yeah.
Spurs game.
It's not just when you come, like, it's how hard you come.
So even if he was prepared the other day and he didn't, remember, it's all about when, not... I mean, it's all about how hard,
no.
Not when.
Yeah.
Yeah,
right.
It's all about how hard, back. Not when.
Take it from Doris Burke. She knows.
She She does. Barry knows that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Blandy, give us the upcoming schedule. What do you got?
All right. Here we go.
Ready? Not prepared.
So we've got Thursday at San Antonio, and then we've got Saturday at Houston.
What time? Saturday.
8 p.m. on Thursday, 7 p.m. on Saturday.
Okay.
And then we come home for a couple of days.
Wow.
What a new year. I gave us the game set.
Saturday is New Year's Eve, Blanderson.
Yes, it is. 7 p.m. in Houston.
Oh, man, we play on New Year's Eve.
Yep.
Yeah.
What a way to ring in the new year.
With a loss to the Houston Rockets?
Probably. There's no, like, what's the best case scenario is you beat a shitty team. And worst case, you ring in the new year with that. When's the next time we play after New Year's?
January 2nd versus Phoenix at home. But no Devin Booker, so.
All right, guys. Until next time, Happy New Year. To all Knicks fans, may next year be better. All right? Until next time, until next year, it is a hard
Knicks
life.
I'm down. I'm really down. How can you laugh when you know I'm down? How can you laugh when you know I'm down?
It's a hard Knicks life.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.